Let's go to Deuteronomy 32:11. Deuteronomy 32:11 and Isaiah 40:31. Both of those places. Deuteronomy 32:11 and Isaiah 40:31. I'm going to preach a message that I did preach a few weeks ago, several weeks ago in chapel at the Christian school. But you all have not heard it, and it's a practical message, and it'll be a good reminder for myself as well as those who were in chapel. Deuteronomy 32:11 and Isaiah 40:31. Let's start in 32:11. Actually, let's skip up to verse 9. I decided to go ahead and read this in light of what we just heard last week. Deuteronomy 32:9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, and he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now that's a pretty cool verse to read, considering what Brother Davidson just talked about with Jacob and how God had a hand over him. Look at verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. All right, let's go over to Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah 40:31. Many of you could probably quote this. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm preaching tonight a message I call Lessons from the Eagle. Lessons from the Eagle. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given me to preach. We thank you for this church, Lord, and the good folks that are in it. Thank you for your word and the lessons that we can learn from just the most surprising places. All throughout your Bible, you teach us things from a simple standpoint, easy to understand. But Lord, the application to our life is so important. And I pray that we leave tonight just with a few things that we could walk away with. And Lord, just thank you for. And I pray, Lord, that you give me the power that I need and the Holy Spirit, Lord, uplifting, and just help me to say the words I need to say. Give me clarity of speech and thought that I could focus right on what needs to be focused on. And I pray that the folks sitting in here would not just sit idly, but they would listen and that they would engage themselves, learn, and then walk away with the blessing from your word. Thank you for this service. Please be with the other services going on in Master's Club and in our pastor's time now as he's away in Alaska. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I brought a little friend with me today. And I stole this guy from the church office back there, but I liked eagles. How many of you have ever seen a bald eagle before? You've seen a bald eagle, all right? Who in here has never seen a bald eagle before? Raise your hand. Huh? Just about everybody? Okay, a few people. There's something special about seeing a bald eagle, isn't there? Now, around here, you can see a lot of them. Honestly, I've seen two or three since I've been here, and maybe that's not a thing that happens every day, but, it's a neat thing. It's always a neat thing to see a bald eagle. And they're a symbol of majesty. I mean, when the people are deciding what animal or what should be shown for our country, you know, the founding fathers were talking about it and they debated over different things, but they chose an eagle. And that's a pretty special thing. So every time I see an eagle, I do think of our freedom, right? I think of our nation. I think of America. I think of a powerful bird that just seems to be probably better than all other birds. I'm not a real bird person. I mean, I don't know many people that, well, I guess turkeys, you know, they kind of count. Amen. But yes, they fly, you know, a little bit. But I'm talking about the majestic flying birds there. They're just one of the most majestic birds out there. Hawks are pretty neat and those kind of things. But there's something about a bald eagle. And as a kid, I always liked bald eagles. In fact, there was a man growing up in my church. He loved eagles. He collected them like this, I believe. Pastor Ross Sr. liked eagles too as well. I think this is one of his. So he liked eagles, and I remember he gave me this little eagle pin that I thought I was, maybe five. And I wore it on an Easter Sunday one day, and I put it on, my lapel, because that's where everybody put it. I don't know where it was. It was probably way up here, But I was so proud of my eagle pin, and I loved eagles because of this guy who loved eagles, and he would tell me stories and what eagles did. And I remember losing that pin right before Easter pictures, and I stopped all the pictures, later on, and I never found the eagle. We were looking all through the grass, if you look at the pictures later, I'm kind of sad looking, and that's probably why. So I ruined Easter pictures because of the little eagle pin, but I've always liked eagles. The Bible does talk a little bit about eagles here. In Deuteronomy 32:11, it shows God as a picture. It relates God to an eagle. He basically says the way that this mother eagle takes care of her young, so God took care of Jacob. And then he also, what we all know is the best, probably the most common verse, if you ever see a picture of this in a store somewhere, they usually have a nice picture of an eagle. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Now, we're going to use those two as just as references to eagles, but I'm going to give you eight things tonight, eight simple things, and I'd encourage you to maybe jot those down. I'll give you an eagle application and a spiritual application, all right? So something that the eagle does that we can learn from, all right? Number one, eagles fly with eagles. You don't see an eagle flying in a goose pack, okay? You know, those Canadian geese flying in a V. You never see an eagle there, do you? You just don't see them associating with other birds. Eagles fly with eagles. What's the lesson we can learn from that? Stay separated. Stay separated. Romans 1:1, Paul says, excuse my voice here tonight, Paul says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." As Christians, what lesson can we learn from an eagle? Number one, we can learn that we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be different. I mean, a bald eagle looks different than every other bird. That white head, that's not what a bird has. There's other bald birds, the only other vultures, you know, they're ugly though. Amen. That's really bald, literally bald. But the bald eagle has feathers up there, but we call him bald because he looks different. He's separated. He doesn't fly with other birds. Eagles don't fly with other hawks, all right? That's competition to them. They associate with only their kind of animal. That's their life. In fact, what's interesting about an eagle is how many times have you seen two or three eagles together? How many times? Not very many, do you? Most of the time, a lot of times, you'll see one lone eagle flying around. An eagle will separate itself for its own benefit. And oftentimes, they'll have families and stuff like that. But we need to learn a lesson from this eagle. Go to Luke 6:22 real quick. Luke 6:22. Excuse me, my voice. I've been in a hospital for two or three days. That's what happens. You get sick, amen? You go to the hospital for some people to get better, and those who are better go and get sick. That's the way it works. Luke 6:22, the Bible says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." So we're going to be hated if we're Christians. "And when they shall separate you from their company." So here we have somebody who doesn't have a choice. When you get saved, people are going to start hating you for it. They're not even going to give you the choice to separate. They're going to separate you from their company. And keep reading. "And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for what? The Son of Man's sake." What makes your life kind of like an eagle's? Well, we're separated. We are. Amen. We need to stay that way. Young men, listen, there's a reason we have you cut your hair a certain way. It's so that you look separate. There's a reason that notes go home to parents because a guy's hair starts getting too long. It's we want it to you to look like young men. Young ladies, there's a reason we want you to wear your dresses at a certain length because, is it because the world wears it that way? No. You know, they don't care about separation. They care about, in fact, you are separated. Young ladies, when you walk through a store, you know, I stand up for you, okay? It takes a lot of, guys, we have it good. It takes a lot of courage, spiritual courage and strength for a young lady in our world today to stay modest and stay right her whole life. It does. So, young ladies, you keep that. You keep that up. And you teach your daughters that. If there's anything that we've learned this past month, talking about the family and teen dating and all, you know, young people dating and how they shouldn't date, amen. All right, amen. All right, good. It's separation and teaching it to your kids. So we are supposed to stay separated. You know the illustration of a fence, right? The grass does always look greener on the other side, but the truth is, it could be over a septic tank, right? That's just how it goes. And so the world wants to paint a pretty picture to you, young men, and you, young ladies, and us, middle-aged and young people. They want to paint a pretty picture to us, and we need to stay separated. Number two, what lesson can we learn from the eagle? Eagles have strong vision. An eagle has strong vision. What can I learn from that? Stay focused. Stay focused. So number one, we saw that eagles fly with eagles. You need to stay separated. Number two, eagles have strong vision. Stay focused. Stay focused on what's right. An eagle can see very far. An eagle can see, they think, up to 2 miles away. So it can be 2 miles high in the air, and it can see something move on the ground. And that's how they hunt. They'll fly up, and they'll soar up high. And the reason they're doing that is other animals don't sense their presence, per se. And they'll swoop down, and they'll kill that poor little baby bunny rabbit on Easter. Amen. And with its talons, grab into that thing and then rip it open with its beak, and painting a graphic image here, amen. But an eagle can see that poor little baby bunny rabbit crawling through the grass from 2 miles away. And when it sees movement, I guarantee it kind of starts swooping lower, and it focuses in on its prey. It does. Now, we're not supposed to focus in on prey necessarily, all right? The devil is doing that to you. But listen, we can learn something from this eagle. An eagle will stay focused on its task and what it's doing, all right? Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." We've gone through a spring program. We just ended it Sunday. But you know what? We were really focused, weren't we, on getting that done. We were all focused. We had different Sundays, special Sundays in a row. M Sunday, and I wasn't here for that. I'm sorry. Had a baby. Amen. But I'm sure that was great with all those different Sundays. And who won the moped? Does anybody know? Anybody know who won the Harley? All right, she won the moped. Good, praise the Lord. Awesome. Is she driving it right now? You know, who knows? Who knows? She's a little too young to do that. All right. But listen, eagles stay focused. Eagles stay focused. And we can learn the same lesson. We have to have a vision. This heart for home thing. You know, the great thing about having a theme through the year and every month is different. It's because we can stop and we can focus on that thing for that month, all right? And this coming month is Heritage Month. We're talking about our heritage in May. Not our heritage as a nation, but our Baptist heritage. And so honestly, before, you know, Brother, the 21st is that Baptist Sunday, okay? But I would encourage myself and encourage you as church members, why don't let us focus in on that for the month of May? Let's do that. Let's go home and find a book on the Baptist history and read it. Let's go to the Bible and read about our Baptist history. Let's focus in on that. We got a lot of other distractions. You know, the world wants to keep your focus. If I had my phone here, which, hey, I don't. Amen. If I had my phone here, you know what the world wants to do with that? Keep your focus. I mean, they want to keep your focus. And I'll admit, I get distracted at times. And you would have to admit, you probably do too. The world wants to keep your focus with this. The one-handed finger, you know, of non-focus. You know, you want to know why kids today can't keep focused? Because their parents turn on cartoons for them to stare at all day. And have you ever watched cartoons? I mean, seriously, the other day I turned on a cartoon. And I thought, what in the world? You know, at least Bugs Bunny was funny, man. I mean, nobody today is just so. I mean, you wonder why we have bus kids, seriously, that are AD. I mean, they use the word ADD, okay? That's just an excuse for bad parenting or something. I don't know. But ADD, attention deficit disorder. I mean, these kids can't even sit still for a few minutes. Because why? Because the world's keeping their focus. And they're not letting them focus on one thing. The world doesn't want them focusing on one thing. They shift their focus. They have cartoons that are just all the time up and down, no sense, no story, nothing. The way they do their school, you know, they want us parents to start our kids at 8 in the morning to school and then keep them filled to 8 at night with extracurricular activities. They want you to go to every basketball game and every baseball game. And I like all that kind of stuff. But you know what? That has a sense of no focus. You know, you meet somebody like that and they're doing way too many things. Let's focus. Remember that January time? Preacher talked about organization. Okay. How about we have a May organization time? I thought about that the other day. I thought, oh man, Lord, you know what? Some of those things that I was supposed to learn and keep, those shelves that I'm supposed to build, amen. Some of them got built, but some of them didn't, you know? So it's time to refocus and say, okay, what do I need to do now in the middle of the year that I was supposed to do at the beginning of the year? You know, maybe July 1st ought to be kind of like our new year, half a new year's or something, you know? I don't know. Maybe that's what we need to do. But listen, eagles fly with eagles, stay separated. Eagles stay, they can see a long distance. They're focused. Let's stay focused. Let's stay focused as a church. Amen. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Number three, eagles don't eat dead things. Now, that might sound a little funny because obviously anything they eat, they kill. You know, it's dead. But an eagle won't do like a vulture will. A vulture will eat anything that's on the side of the road. Okay? There's a lot of animals like that. But an eagle won't. An eagle would prefer to go out and hunt its prey, kill it, and eat it. It just does. It's a predator. It wants to kill and it wants to eat. And they'll eat some stuff that's, you know, semi-dead, or they'll steal another eagle's food or whatever. But I'm talking about, if you ever look at an eagle, you'll notice that it's always hunting for something. It's never eating the dead stuff that's on the side of the road. What can we learn from that? How about we stay away from dead things? Amen. Eagles don't eat dead things. So guess what, Christians? We shouldn't either. There's some things that are dead. Dead Bibles, dead churches, dead Christians, dead friends. All right. There's some friends that I had in my life, but after a certain time, I realized, you know what? That person's dead. Spiritually dead. Now, I can try to help them grow, amen. I can try to plant and water all I want, but you know what? Eventually, I have to get away from that person because they're going to infect me, and I'm going to become dead. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, we're not supposed to have fellowship with the unfruitful, all right? And I think about that as in terms of a plant, okay? If one of your plants has a disease, and it's going to infect, it's an infectious disease, and it's going to infect all the other ones, you either try to transplant it somewhere else and heal it, or you cut it out. You get rid of it. And so we need to be just like the eagles. Let's not eat dead things, all right? We don't need to eat dead things. You need to stay alive and ready for God's work. Don't absorb things. If you absorb the dead stuff of this world inside, guess what you're going to be? Dead, all right? Jesus talked about the whited sepulcher. Remember that? He said basically there's two possible types of vessels. You could have a dirty vessel with a clean inside and a clean vessel with a dirty inside. And actually, neither one of those are right. He wants you to be a clean vessel with a clean inside. Amen? But the truth is, a lot of us Christians, if we're not careful, going to a good church like this, myself included, and it happens to me, it happens to you, I guarantee it does, but I'll find myself throughout a week. And, you know, this is why Wednesdays are so good. Honestly, this is why Wednesdays are just amazing. Because I can find myself going from a great day on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday, somehow the devil gets me, and I fill myself with dead, useless junk. I do, all right? And you've done it too. And you know what? If you're not careful, this is why a good walk with God is important, amen? That's why you need to open the Word of God and read it. Because you know what? If you don't, you'll gather all types of junk in yourself, and you'll come to church, and you'll think, man, I didn't get anything out of Brother Young's message that night. Well, I wonder why. All right, it's because you're full of junk, and then you never took time to empty it out. So let's get rid of the dead stuff in our life, amen. And we all need to do that daily, amen. I mean, I can't say that I've gone a day without gathering something that was useless. All right, like I said, the whole smartphone thing, okay, those are feeding a lot of useless to us. All right, and I find myself, you know, useless, thinking, what in the world? I just, you know, 5 minutes of, you know, worry about something that didn't matter, useless. All right, let's stay away from those dead things. Stay away from, you know, young people in this Christian school, young people in the church. You've got to find yourself. Don't find yourself one of each other. Go find somebody out here who's alive and on fire for God and find out everything you can from them. And don't go to your peers who are dead. All right, don't ask advice of them. The dangerous thing anyway, asking advice of your peers. But go find somebody who's alive. Listen, even in the youth department, even in the young people's, your level, go find the most on fire young person and help them stay on fire and get on fire yourself. Amen? Part of my biggest mistake as a young person, and I spent my teenage years this way, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, all the way up to 11th grade, I tried so hard. You know, I was a nerd, okay? Amen? Can you tell? I was a nerd, okay? Good grades, you know, 98s or higher in school, you know, the assistant pastor's kid, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I wasn't Mr. Joe Cool in the school, but I tried to be, okay? And I chose wrong friends, dead friends, that until I got away from those friends, I could not grow spiritually like I should. Did I try to have a walk with God like I should? Yes. Did I make some good decisions? Yes. But those friends, those dead Christians, they kept me from a lot. Who knows what my life would be like? Who knows what things I could have grasped earlier? You know, those times where you look back and you say, boy, I wish I had gotten that earlier. You know, how many have that in your life? Amen. All right. Let young people take that as a tip from those some people who would say, Brother Young, I didn't get saved till I was this age, and I wish I had got saved earlier. Well, you know what? If you're saved, how about we do more than just get saved? Amen. How about we get right with God? How about we grow in the Lord? How about we have a good walk with God now? Listen, let me tell you something. It's hard to have a good walk with God if you didn't when you were a young person. You know, it is. I woke up to that my senior year, you know, and by that time, that's late. That's late in the game for somebody who's been, you know, who has what I have. Remember that whole thing, Brother Chad talked about it, I think, last time he preached, about to whom much is given, much is required. Listen, if you grew up in church here, you've been given a lot, all right? You've been given a lot. You've been trained as almost like a little eagle, all right? An eagle is a majestic bird. You've been grown up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's stay on fire for God. Stay away from dead things, all right? Number four, here we go. Eagles love the storm. Eagles love the storm. How many of you have ever seen a picture of maybe an eagle going into a storm? Have you seen that? That's a popular thing. People like to do that. Why do they do that? Well, here's what an eagle can do. An eagle with its great wings and its majestic power can soar very high. They can. And the truth is, an eagle, when it sees a storm, no bird wants to fly in a storm, right? Just think about that. You know, God didn't create birds to sit there and fly through rain and hail and everything else. And so no bird wants, they'll either find shelter or they'll find they'll retreat, try to run away from it. Well, no, an eagle doesn't do that. An eagle, if it knows where it's going to go, will try to make a way around the storm, or if it has to, it'll find shelter. But sometimes God will gave the eagle enough strength that it is strong enough to fly above the clouds, and it can fly high enough where it'll fly right over a storm. And that's a good illustration, one of those motivational illustration things, but it's a truth that we can take from the Bible. Why do you think he put in Isaiah 31, if you look at that, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." That's where that comes from. An eagle, when it sees a storm, it will mount up and go above that storm. And here the Bible tells me that if I will wait on God, God will give me that kind of strength to mount above the storm. So when I see a storm cloud coming in my life, maybe it's already here, maybe it's coming and it's close, God will give me, if I wait on him, the strength to mount up and go above that storm. Does that mean the storm's not happening anymore? No, the storm's still going on. The eagle's still a little bit affected by that storm. But the truth is, God gives him strength if he waits to go above the storm. Now, here's what happens. Some Christians are given the strength of eagles, me, myself included. I think we've all done this. We're given the strength of eagles. We waited on God. We did what we're supposed to. Some of us don't wait. We try to retreat. We try to run through it, and we end up going through a storm, and it's bad. Okay? You need the Lord during those times. But listen, if you do wait on God and you do see the storm coming, don't fly right through it. All right? I feel like I've done that before. You know, the Lord gives me strength. I know exactly what I need to do. You know, his word's right in front of me. All I got to do is follow it. All I got to do is wait on him. And what do? With these mighty eagle strength wings, I fly right into it. You ever seen those people? You know what those people are? They're the ones that come to church and, ho-hum, I'm, you know, going through this problem and this trial. And that's them. All right? Now, they may have the strength to get through the storm, but if they're not careful, they'll live in that storm instead of going above it. And that's a good lesson from the eagle. Listen, folks, let's not live in that storm. Let's not live there if we don't have to. All right? Now, there are some people who go through a storm and choose not to rely on God. They choose not to. And it's their fault for being in the middle of that storm and not relying on the Lord. But if he gives us strength as eagles, and if we're following his word and we're still flying through the storm, you know, that's pretty dumb, honestly. So let's do the opposite of that. Let's learn a lesson from our eagle here and do what it says here. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That means they may be out of strength, right? But God will give them more strength. "And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." What are we supposed to learn from an eagle? Number one, stay separated. Number two, have a strong vision. Stay focused. Number three, don't eat dead things. Stay away from dead churches. Number four, love the storm. Love the storm. Does that mean I love going through the storm? No. It just means I love the opportunity that God gives me to go above the storm. And you know what? The world will see that. The world will see that. And they'll look over there and say, but that guy, he's going through the same thing I did. And they'll see you going above the storm and serving God and keep going on. And you know what? They might just want to become an eagle too. Amen. They might just want to get saved because of that. So let's go above the storm. Number five, eagles test before they trust. We'll finish up the last few pretty quickly here. Eagles test before they trust. This is probably the most interesting story, and this will apply to our young people especially, or any unmarried single individuals. I think Anthony back there, you know, amen. And so this is a good application. Take note here of this. And so eagles test before they trust. What is this, Brother Young? Well, here's what happens. An eagle, a female eagle, when she's ready to get married. Now, another good application is eagles will mate for life, by the way. They're not just a normal type of animal that does whatever. An eagle, when they get married, they're married for life. Isn't that neat? That's a good lesson for the world to take on eagles. A man eagle and a woman eagle. Amen. Nothing else. All right. Praise the Lord. The world could learn a lot from eagles. All right. Just saying. A man and a woman eagle will get married, and you know what they will do? They will stay married until one of them dies. They will. That's a pretty amazing thing and a pretty neat lesson for us to learn. But here's how they do that. Well, that's important then. It's important that they meet the right one, amen? It means God created one eagle for another eagle, right? Amen? Just like preacher just talked about recently. Young ladies, God has the perfect man for you. Young man, God has the perfect young lady for you if you stay in his will. But an eagle will do this. A lady eagle will do this. She needs to know that the man she is going to marry is able to take care of the young in the family. And so it's kind of opposite, I guess. It's kind of like a female proposal. So don't do that, guys. You need to propose to the girl, amen? But what she'll do is she will take a stick in her mouth, and she will soar up into the air, and she'll drop the stick. And if the guy swoops down and catches it, then that's not over, okay? That's not all she does. She then takes a bigger stick, soars up, and drops it. And if he catches it, she'll do it again. And at the moment he doesn't catch the stick, she flies away and leaves him. Okay? He's not the right one. He can't do his job. All right? That's just how it goes. She's not married to him. She's not choosing him, man. He can't pick up the stick. Well, what she'll do is, that's what it says. Amen. So what she'll do is she'll get a stick so big or big enough, as big as she can carry, the biggest thing she can carry. And she will fly up, and she'll drop the stick. If he catches that one, then those two, because she has many suitors. This is the animal kingdom, so a lot of them come along, and they want to. But if he catches that one, he's the right one, and those two will get married, and they'll have an eagle's nest, and little eaglets will come along. Amen? Amen. So that's what will happen. That's what will happen. But listen, before she trusted that male eagle, she had to trust him first. She had to trust him first. Before she could get married, before she could have a family, she had to trust, and he had to trust her. He had to be able to take care of her. Amen. And so they both had this trusting time where the male and female eagle have to trust each other. That's a pretty good application to young people, and we won't go into a lot of detail there, but listen, you've got to have a time of testing. Don't just make rash decisions like that. That's an important decision. I won't go into all that. Preacher just did a whole lesson on, a whole month's worth on the 7 royal laws of courtship. But listen, those 7 royal laws, that's the testing time, okay? Test before you trust. Before you trust, you've got to test. You can't just go make a decision based on, you know, if she picked the most handsome bald eagle that came up, I'm sure she would have got married to the wrong guy, okay? But listen, test before you trust. So she didn't just want a handsome one. She wanted somebody that was strong, amen? Some guy who could catch the stick. All right? So here's what you guys need to do. Here's what you ladies need to do. When a guy proposes to you, just have a stick in your pocket and go. If he can't catch it, if his reflexes aren't fast enough, forget him. Amen. So that's what you need to do when you go to college. We don't have any girls who are seniors in here. Do we? Oh, wait. When you go to college, you're the next one going to college soon. When you go to college, just carry a bunch of sticks in your pocket. Amen. And, you know, any guy that comes up to you, say, all right, catch the stick, you know. I don't know what that'll look like, but amen. All right, number six. We got 3 more here. Here we go. Number 6, eagles train their young. Eagles train your young. Part of that little process of dropping the stick, you know what the mama eagle will do when her eaglets come along? She'll kick them out of the nest. All right? Now, you've heard that story where birds do that, but listen, eagles don't necessarily do that to the same extent, right? Their nests are very high up, usually. They don't just knock their kids, you know, completely out. All right? They die. But they do knock them out a little ways, and they try to train their young to where they can fly, step by step, little by little. They'll fly their babies up sometimes and drop them into the nest, all right? What are they doing? They're training their young people. What can we learn from that? Well, Stay strong in your example to the next generation. Stay strong in your example to the next generation. Number six, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Young people, you're part of this training process too. These little kids in here, they look at you while you're in church. You know, maybe they're sleeping because some of you sleep. No, I'm just joking. Got some guys over here sleeping. But listen, they're watching you. They're watching you. Senior citizens, we're watching you. It goes all the way down the line. We're all part of training up the next generation. Grandmas and grandpas, you have a big impact on your grandchildren. I've only got two, and already my parents are crazy. I mean, they changed overnight, you know. But listen, my parents are a big impact on my son and daughter. Amen. We are all part of that. Listen, eagles train their young. They keep them in the family. They train them right. They train them to be an eagle. And that's what we're doing here. We're training you young people to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're training you guys in the way you should go so that when you're old, whether or not you do that, you won't depart from it. You'll remember it. You'll remember your training here. So number six, eagles train their young. Two more and we'll be done. Number seven, eagles prepare themselves. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, chapter and verse 1. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The preparations of a heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparations of the heart in man. God is involved in preparing your heart to work for him. Young people, God is involved in preparing your heart right now to do something that you might not even know what it is someday. Middle-aged people, young people, adults, fathers, grandfathers, God could be preparing you to do something you don't even know you have time left to do. God could be preparing all of us to do something tomorrow that we just have no idea that we would do. And so eagles, listen, they prepare themselves. They meticulously, how do I apply this to eagles? An eagle will prepare its nest very carefully. You know what they're doing? They're preparing to have young eaglets. That's what they're doing. And they'll build that thing and they'll train their young. And you know what they'll do? They'll prepare to fly. When an eagle is going to move its home, and oftentimes they don't. They usually move several times, but they try not to. But if they have to move long distances because of hunting, they prepare themselves before they do that. They gather all the things they need. They fly long distances, and they prepare them for that. They construct a home worthy for their family. Ephesians 6:15 says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Brother Young, why are we talking about preparation here? Why does this apply to me? Well, listen, if we're working in the bus ministry right now, we're preparing for what God has for us. If you're working in a Sunday school, you're preparing for what God has for you. And you know what? That goes especially to young people. All right, God may be preparing you for who knows what. And so that's why you're in the bus ministry right now, because you're trying to prepare. That's why your parents are taking you on youth trips. They're trying to prepare you. That's why you're in a Christian school and you're getting an education. The reason you have a schooling and you go through high school is to what? Prepare you. This is your biggest time of preparation. It really is. The most important time of preparation is how old you guys are right now. From that age 12 to 25. All right, biggest time of preparation in a young lady or a young man's life is from 12 to 25. Those two time periods are very, very important for preparation. But listen, we still have to be prepared. All right, anybody older than that, listen, we've got to be prepared. The Bible says right there, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Were you prepared to witness to somebody this week? Was I prepared? Guess what? I missed an opportunity. The Lord spoke to me. And it was one of those where, you ever had those times where it's not like you can go back and visit that person, okay? I met somebody this week, and the Lord hit me hard on that. He said, why didn't you witness to him? Why didn't you? And guess what? I'll probably never see the person again. They don't live around here. It was traveling. It's nothing that I'll probably never see him again. But you know what the Lord said to me? You weren't prepared. You weren't prepared. And so you know what? We got to be prepared. Have tracks in your car. Have tracks in your pocket if you can. I know I need a lot of tracks at the Christian school. Amen. They're all, you know, interesting over there. But I'm just joking. I don't. So at my job, I can't really hand out tracks. All right. But I do need to be prepared. And I wasn't this week. And the Lord convicted me about a specific person. Just a man that comes to my mind. And I pray now that somebody else will get a chance to see him. and to talk to him. But listen, we got to be prepared. We can't just have a preparation for Saturday, all right, or for whenever you go visiting. Let's be prepared all the time. Amen. Let's take this lesson from the eagle. Let's be prepared. Number 8, this is the last one, and we'll be done. Eagles rejuvenate. Eagles rejuvenate. Go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. This will be the last scripture we turn to. Psalms 103, verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now that's a funny verse. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. An eagle will live somewhere between 25 and 35 years. They can live a long time. But the truth is, an eagle, what does it say mean here? That an eagle can be renewed in its youth. Every year, an eagle will molt, which is what happens to a bird, and it'll molt its feathers, and it'll grow new feathers, sometimes longer feathers, bigger feathers. These flying feathers on the end, they don't start out this way, all right? As they're little, as they're younger, they grow these every year during molting time, all right? And so an eagle will renew its youth. If you see an eagle right before it renews its youth and right after, okay, time varies, all right, for different eagles, but an eagle will go apart kind of by itself, and it will go through somewhat of a painful process, somewhat of a ugly process. It looks kind of battered and worn. It's caught many preys. It's gone through many storms. It's done many things in the year, but it will renew its youth because it will molt the old nasty feathers, and it'll get rid of those and shake those off and scrape those off, and it will grow new, shiny, healthy feathers on its body. And it will look like a new eagle. It will renew its youth. Boy, have you ever thought about that when you read that verse? That's a neat thing to think about. Look at that again right there. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? It's talking about the Lord. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen, we need to stay excited about the things of God every day. An eagle will do this once a year, but we will be in big trouble if every January 1st we renew ourselves. We will. I will. Okay? If I just determine, well, I'm going to get right with God on January 1 because it's a new year. I think we need to have a new year every day. Amen? Let's have a new. There's a song that says, new every morning. You heard that song before? It talks about how the Lord is new every single morning. Listen, he ought to be new to you. When's the last time you stopped and renewed yourself, not to everybody else, but to God? You know, there's some people I walk along, myself included, you know, every once in a while, you know yourself. You know what you've done. You know your mind. You know your heart. You know what you need to get right. Every once in a while, I've looked in the mirror, and I've thought, Roger, you need to renew some things. How about we go look at this mirror right here, the Word of God. Listen, renew. The Bible talks about renewing by the be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Okay? I can look around, not in everybody, but in some people, I can look around and say, it's been a while since that person has been renewed. You know? You can tell it on their face. You can tell somebody, you know, sometimes it's just a physical thing, right? Sometimes people are tired, and you think, well, boy, it's been a long time since that person's had some rest, right? Can't you tell? Usually when someone hasn't had rest, you can tell. It's been a long time since that person had a drink of water. All right, or whatever it is. But you know what? The eagle will renew itself every year. And the Bible says here that God can give us that same renewing. There's a story about eagles, how they go through this process of shedding their beak and all that kind of stuff, some motivational thing. I looked it up. It's not true. It was some kind of science. I'm a teacher, so I look everything up. So I wasn't going to teach on that. But listen, an eagle will renew itself. It will shed its old feathers. It will shed its old... remember preacher, Brother Davidson, I think, was it him? He was on Sunday morning, right? Whoever's here, I'm sorry, my days are off because of not being here on Sunday. But Brother Davidson talked about the old man and the new man, you remember that? And he said, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And that's what the eagle does. He takes those old feathers that have been bent and ripped and torn in the winds, and he sheds those so he can get new feathers and he can fly longer. He can serve his purpose longer. But listen, as Christians, let's do that. Let's do that. We've got a lot of year left. We just ended the spring program, right? And you know what? Some of you, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, your feathers are probably a little bit worn out right now, right? I mean, we just came through a spring program. You worked hard. You got out and knocked doors. I mean, you ran. You guys, I mean, we did a lot of work. And your feathers might be a little bit busted up right now. Let's go renew that this week, okay? So we can serve the Lord. We got a great summer coming ahead. We've got VBS and missions trips, but let's get renewed. Let's learn some lessons from an eagle. I'll go through them one more time. Number one, eagles fly with eagles. Let's stay separated. Number two, eagles have strong vision. Let's stay focused. Number three, eagles don't eat dead things. Let's stay away from dead things. Number four, eagles love the storm. Stay true to God's will and direction, even in a trial. Number five, eagles test before they trust. Be careful when you're testing for your future spouse. Even now, be careful how you do that. Number six, eagles train their young. Stay strong in your example to the next generation. Number seven, eagles prepare themselves. Hey, we got to be prepared. I got to be prepared to witness. You got to be prepared to witness. I got to be preparing for whatever God has for my life in the future. And that means every day I have to prepare by reading God's word. Number eight, eagles rejuvenate. Every day we all need to rejuvenate ourselves a little bit. Sometimes we need a little extra, right? We need to go apart by ourselves and take care of some things and say, Lord, I just need this to be new. I need you to take care of this old junky stuff that I got in my life. I need to get rid of that, get rid of the old battered feathers, and get on fire again for God. So let's do like the eagle. Let's transform. Let's get our wings ready for flight. We've got a great summer ahead of us. We got hard work to do. Hey, Sunday's coming. Amen. Let's pray for that. Tonight when we dismiss, let's pray for it. Let's learn just eight simple lessons. I don't know if I did them justice today. I don't know if my voice did it justice. I know you're tired, but I hope you took eight things, and I hope you wrote them down or put them in your mind. And I hope next time you see an eagle, you remember that. Every time I see an eagle now, I remember one of these things. And I thank God for his creation, and I thank God for saving me. And let's remember these eight things. Let's remember these things. Lessons from an eagle. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to preach. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would work in our hearts and lives. Help us to live as you want us to live. Lord, help us to live following your example from your word. The many lessons, Lord, practical things. Lord, oftentimes we try to live super spiritual, but honestly, Father, if we would just live practically spiritual, Lord, you'd be much more pleased with it. And I thank you for the fact that you've given us your word. Thank you for your son dying on the cross. I pray now that as we have an invitation time, if there's one person in here who's not saved, that they'd come forward and they'd ask about that. And they'd get that settled in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.